Though the details can be different, it is not often that we find the same story in all four Gospels. Now, we are 9 days away from celebrating Christmas, one of the biggest church celebrations of the year, and only two Gospel writers, those of Matthew and Luke, felt it important enough to include the birth story of Jesus in their texts. Only two. The birth of Jesus is only told in two of the four, and we as a culture change the regular flow of our lives to take part in it. From buying the perfect gifts to adorning our world with the perfect decorations, throwing the best parties, we choose to turn our lives really upside down from Thanksgiving to Epiphany. The birth of Jesus, the day we celebrate God being born into the flesh of humanity, is only found in 50% of the Gospels. I know that's the third time I've said it because it's important to know. With that being the truth, why is it that our society, Christian or not, spends so much of our time, money, and energy on this event? If we as a people of the gospel are willing to buy into something that only appears in half the gospels, it would seem as spiritually important that we would work twice as hard to live into something that is found in all four of them. Bible stories of John the Baptist, being a prophet of God who proclaims a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, is found in 100% of the Gospels. 100%. What this guy is telling us must be especially important in our relationship with God. So important, in fact, that I wonder if the time, money, and energy we choose to spend on his message should exceed what we put into Christmas. The negative effects of sin are not just a personal thing. Sin connects us all. The traditions of the church have responded to this by weaving the message of repentance and forgiveness into our principal weekly worship service. The negative effects of sin is not personal. It's for everyone. This is why we begin our confession of sin, which will come a little later in the service, with the words, "We confess." We don't begin it with I. The confession that we'll use in this service, as you know, at the contemporary service, it changes. Later in the day at 11 and 5, we will have the confession from the Book of Common Prayer. But today we say that we confess that we have tried to separate ourselves from you. We have ignored you. We have ignored our neighbors. We are selfish and bring wrongs against others. And we dwell in the darkness of our chosen silence. Those are the words that we'll use. Later, that we confess that we sinned against you in thought, word, and deed by things that we have done and left undone. We as a group will admit that we have not loved God with our whole heart and that we have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. That we part is extremely important because we have to respond together as well to the world. I think Luke knew a little something about the we part. You know, when we look at the Gospel of Matthew, when we get to those words, "you brood of vipers," in Matthew, he's not talking to everybody. He's talking to the Sadducees and the Pharisees, those who were pushing back against the message. But in Luke, brood of vipers comment isn't being thrown at the Sadducees and the Pharisees. It's being thrown at the entire crowd. The whole we. Not just those of you who need to be called a brood of vipers. To everyone. And so when we are in this together, we need to respond to this call of repentance and forgiveness. We. But how do we do that? Well, John lays it pretty clear today, doesn't it? It's kind of hard to argue against that. I told Mike yesterday, some years when you get up here for the Advent Gospels, really you've said about all you can say in the first week, and then you struggle for the next three as we move through. But in year C, we actually get to pull out different things. And I told Mike yesterday, I said, this week's gospel would really be a great diaconal sermon. Because it says that what we should do, John says, whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none. And whoever has food must do likewise. Now, even the tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, "Teacher, what should we do?" We all need to respond together. And that response to them is to collect no more than the amount prescribed to you. I mean, that's how they made their living. They collected taxes, and then they took a portion of that to pay themselves, but some of the tax collectors were greedy, and they took more and more, making the burden on the people harder and harder. John's saying, don't be greedy. You need to work for your living, but don't push it on those who don't have any more to give. And the soldiers even, they come, and they ask, well, what are they supposed to do? Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation, and be satisfied with your wages. Having a role such as that as a soldier at the time came with great power. They forced people to do things that they wanted them to do. They extorted them, threats, all these things. No, that's greed against their power. That's giving in to the power that they want to have over other people. And John's saying, no, let go of that power. Do your job. It's important. But be satisfied with what you receive. How do we respond to our need for repentance and forgiveness? Well, we do it as a whole, and it's very clear, as it is throughout the scriptures, how important hospitality is in our response to the world. We are to show love to all people. All people. We're not to be greedy. We have to share our lives with one another because it's not about us, it's about we. The invitation to answer the call of repentance and forgiveness is one that we have all been given. So let's open up that gift. Allow it to change the way we live our lives. John's not calling us to a Christmas party or a birthday party. He's calling us into a new way to live.